watch up on the board, okay, as you're trying to get it opened up. Okay, first of all, if I run this, and remember I click on the start, and again, just back and forth, this will show me the form, this will show me the work. Well, I had this open in the last class, and so the form is back and the information is coming up. There's the form. Okay, so the form has a place for three numbers. And from the toolbox, these are labels, these are text boxes, these are buttons, and then I have another label and another text box. Now, if you look at one of those text boxes, you'll see it has a beige background and font and everything. And if you come in here, you'll find it set the font, and the four color is black. And if you go up to back color, it was set to yellow. So I went in and I made changes with all of those and gave it a background color of kind of yellow and a bold. I went into font. So between back color, four color, and font, I was able to set that field up to look the way I wanted it to look. Is yours up yet?
Well, I clicked save link. Now, do I just save it?
Yeah, you save it someplace and then you unzip it. So, but as I said, I'm really going to be explaining up here and you're sitting close enough, so you're probably okay to just look at this. Okay, so check one, check two, compare, and problem are all buttons that I have. Okay, so now I am going to go and look at the code and run it. So when I run it, I like to be in the work area because then I can see the code at the same time I'm running and I can figure out what's going on. Okay? So I'm going to click on start and there's the code. I mean, there's the form. Okay, so I'm going to put in here 6, and then on the next one I'm going to put 4, and the next one I'm going to put 2. And I clicked on check 1, and it's coming up with 5. And looking up there and looking here, what it's doing is taking 6 plus 4, which is 10, and dividing by 2, which is coming up with 5. So that's the right answer. Because when you look at the code up there, you can see that I'm adding and subtracting, dividing. Okay, so I added and then I divided. Now, when I do the next one, come on, this will clear the ink. There we go. If I look at number 2, keep the same numbers, but click on check 2, I'm getting an 8. What's the difference between 1 and 2 that made me get an 8 as opposed to a 5? A 5 being the correct answer. So look at check 1 and check 2, and what's the difference? There's one difference that doesn't matter and one difference that does.
Check 1 has parentheses around the addition.
You got it. Okay. Order of operations. Here I've got parentheses around the add, and so it adds first and then divides. Here, I don't have parentheses around the adds, so it divides first and then adds. So what it's doing is saying 6 plus 4 divided by 2, which means 8. Okay? And it's the missing set of parentheses.
Here I put C integer on the thing I'm dividing by. Here I didn't. It doesn't matter in a divide.
It only matters in an add. Probably it's the easiest thing to do is to go ahead and do the C integer every place when you're dealing with a number, but it wasn't a requirement. And I really should have probably put it up on the top one, but anyway. So what is missing here is this set of parentheses. And without that set of parentheses, order of operations means the divide gets done before the add. Yes, no, maybe?
So what you're saying is that you're putting in like the numbers to compare, and
no, I'm doing calculations, and in one calculation, order of operations is doing the divide before it does the add. But when I put parentheses around, it resolves parentheses first. So the rules are the order of operations can be changed with parentheses, and I change them. Have you got yours up? Okay.
The order of operations can be changed.
Yes, by using parentheses. That's basically true in algebra, and what we're doing here is algebra. Okay, now the next thing is, notice where I defined work answer.
I defined work answer as double, which means it is a decimal. It's another way of saying decimal. And I put it up here, and it is global. Global means that it is available. Global means it's available to every subroutine. So work answer is down here, and that's fine. And work answer is there, and it's fine, because it's global, and it can see it and use it in any subroutine. So putting it up there right under public makes it global and makes it usable in any subroutine. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this and copy it. So I'm copying dim work answer, and I'm going to put it inside. Whoops, I'm running, so I've got to take the running away and get back to code. And I am putting it inside. Oops, I didn't want to do it there. I wanted to do it in the other one. Sorry. I am going to put it inside this one, inside button check one. It actually didn't matter where I put it. And I'm taking it out of global. And as soon as I take it out of global, look what happens. I got curly red lines underneath word answer because it can't find it. It's no longer global. It's now been defined locally. And it's local to that subroutine. So this subroutine can't see it. Okay, because I put work answer into button check one. It is local to button check one. So that's fine. But button check two has red lines under work answer telling me that it can't find them. Can't find it. And if it can't find it, it can't do the calculation.
Okay, so I have a problem there. So now if I try to run it with this problem, I click on start, and it comes up and says there were build errors. Would you like to continue and run the last successful build? And I'm going to say no. And now it's telling me these are the errors. So if I look, I can see that the errors that it has, the squiggly red line under it, are work answer is not declared. So it is being very specific, unlike JavaScript, which wished you a lot of luck and stopped. It is being very specific and telling you that that's where the problem is. And it's even telling you what line it's on. So it's telling you the first problem is on line 10, and the next problem is on line 11. And so it's telling you where it is and what the problem is. So I have two possible fixes. I can copy dim work answer as double and put it in down here, or I can put it back up as a global. Okay? I can put it back up as a global. So, there are my problems, and there's my solution. Okay. So, this is now a problem, so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to put it back up in global, because when it was in global, it worked just fine. So now I'm putting it back up there, and everything is going to work. And notice there are no longer those squiggly red lines in button check 2. So those lines have gone. Okay. Now, on the problem that I had with divide being done before the adds, I have to add parentheses. But the computer can't pick that up as a problem because it doesn't know what it is I want to do. So it can't pick it up as a problem. Okay. Now, the next problem that we ran into, and I'm going to hit start again. Is if I put a 6 here and a 4 here, and I'm not really using that, but I'll put the 2 back, and I say compare, it tells me first is bigger than second. And it's right, first is bigger than second. If I click on the one that says problem, it still tells me first is bigger than second.
So there's an error.
No, because first is bigger than second, right?
Oh, yeah, there is, but there's something not right.
That's what, yes, because I wrote problem, yes. But we haven't got there yet.
Oh.
Okay, so now I take it and I say, okay, this is working all right, but what if I put in 0.6 up there? Okay. So I'm going to put in 0.6 here. And then when I click compare, it tells me first is bigger than second. And when I click problem, it tells me first is not bigger than second. Okay. Now the difference between those is in compare, I converted the numbers to integer. So I made sure they were a number and that everybody knew they were a number. On the second one, I didn't convert them, so they're text. And when they're text, it compares one character at a time. So 0 to 4. Whoops, 4 is bigger. So first is not bigger than second, because 4 is bigger than 0. When it's converted over to a number, then it knows that no matter the leading zeros don't count. And so 6 is greater than 4. But when it is just a text box, which is string text, it compares character by character. And 0 is not bigger than 4, so I get the first is not bigger than second. Okay? So it is a totally by numbers versus text. It is can figure it out, 0.6 versus 4. It can figure out, as long as I tell it, these are numbers. But if I don't tell it these are numbers, then it compares character by character, starting at the left and going across character by character. Okay? And everything that I enter on a form is text. So if I want it to know and act like they're numbers, I have to convert them. And C integer is a way of converting whole numbers. C decimal, C double are ways of converting non-whole numbers. And val is another way of converting anything. Val is kind of the catch-all. Questions?
So by adding in a different meaning, like in the problem error where it says first is not bigger than second, it's like saying, like, it's like you don't have enough, it's like you don't have enough points to be.
No, the whole thing is about the C and D.
The whole thing is that I have to tell the computer these are numbers, and C integer tells it they're numbers.
Here,
I am not telling it it's numbers,
and so it can't do the comparison correctly.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the text.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, now what I want you to do is go and we're going to modify this program a little bit. Okay. So, I want to modify and put on two more buttons on here. So I want to have an AND button and an OR button. And I want to do first greater than second and first greater than third, and do it with simple ifs, please, one question at a time. And then I want to make a second change, and I want to say first greater than second or first greater than third. Okay. So the first one would be a flowchart like this, where I say, is the first greater than the second? And if the answer is yes, I'm asking, is the first greater than the third? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to say okay. If the answer is no, I'm going to say this is off. The problem is off. And if I get a no here, I'm going to say the problem is off. So this is the one where I'm looking at AND. And when I look at OR, I'm asking, is first greater than second? And if it is, it's okay. If it's not, I get a second chance. Is first greater than third? And if the answer is yes, it's okay. And if the answer is no, it is off. So what I've got is I'm going to test and see, and both of these things are true, and I'm going to write a line that says OR. Okay, so I'm going to have one button that says AND, one button that says OR, and I'm going to make those two buttons, one of them will do the logic shown in the AND, and the other will do the logic shown in the OR. So try putting those two buttons on and making that work.
All right, I made it in there. So how do I go to that?
That's called work areas. Did you unzip it?
I think I did. But okay. How do I get to that part, not the design?
You just double click on something, on a button. You put a button up there and double click on it. You get to that app. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is open the toolbox and click on that little button to do it. Yep. And now you're going to drag a button over and make a button here. That button is going to be the AND button.
You're going to drag a button over.
So I'm doing submit.
Okay. So you're going to drag the button over, make an AND, then when you click, after you've named it, you're going to name it button add. Or button AND, rather. After you've named it, then you can double click on it, and that will bring up the code area.
So AND is what you said?
Yes.
AND.
Yes.
The text would say.
I'm going to have it say A and D. Did you get it up? You get it on up?
Yeah.
So you want to, the first step, you want to put two buttons on. One is an AND button, one is an OR button. And I would call it button and, BTN or, something like that. And then behind those buttons, you want to write the code.
And what would the text be called?
What do you mean, what would the text be called?
Oh, you're talking about that. I meant,
the button or the... Well, you're testing text first against text second.
Okay, there we
the button, yeah.
But how?
You drag the button over to the form.
Drag the button?
From the toolbox.
Did you do that yet?
Okay. No, I didn't mean like drag this.
Okay, you've got it over there. So there's the AND button, right?
Right, so...
So now double click on that.
Which one?
Right where you are. Double click. Cursor is, and that's where an empty subroutine is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're adding stuff into the empty subroutine.
So that's how.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Which
yeah.
code is for it?
You have some nerve asking that question at this point in the semester? And is yes, yes. That's and. This is true. Okay? So and is first greater than second? Yes. is first greater than third, yes, then I put out okay. Or is...
So this is a if scenario, right?
So if you have basic yes. You basically, when I have these questions, I can get yes, 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 no, no, yes, and no, no, right? If I have two questions, the result are either they're both true, yes, yes. One is true, the first one is true, but the second one is not true. The first one is not true, but the second one is true, or I get a no to both of them. Okay? So with the and, the only one that gets an okay is if I get a yes and a yes. The other three will get the else. Okay, we'll get over to here and get either that or that. But the only one that is going to get an okay is yes and yes. With an or, okay, with the or, then a yes, yes works. Because I've got a yes, it's good. Yes, no works. All I have to do is get a yes to one of them. So any of those three get me an okay. The only one that gets me the off is no, no. So with an or, I can have them both true or just one of them true. The only way I can get off is the no, no. Yeah.
There's a red line on
That means it's not done right yet.
Oh,
but
so
usually it's because it hasn't been completed.
Oh, so you won't, so it.
Does anybody have a clue what this is about?
Can we check
outside? Are you all getting it too?
Yeah,
or just me?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
Oh, there it is. Assisted test, no action required.
Be notified.
This is only a system check.
Emergency action is required.
So do we just
this is only a test. Be notified. This is only a system check. No emergency action is required. This is only a test.
I thought it was the fire alarm.
Apparently not. It says no action required. I'm going to take their word for it.
Was it supposed to be like a lockdown test this week?
That was last Tuesday.
I was curious because during my summer class, during my summer class, we had a fire drill at at BCC at New Bedford. Therefore, like evacuated.
Right.
So.
And that's what happened last Tuesday here between 11 and 11:30. Okay, let's get back to this.
All right, you're right.
It seems to have decided to go away. Good. okay, I'm going to move on in a few minutes and start doing this, assuming that you have had a little time to play and see if it could come up right. So I'm going back to the design, and I'm bringing up the toolbox and anchoring it in place for a minute. And then I am going to take over two buttons. So I'm taking over a button here, and I'm taking over a button here. And this button I'm going to write the word AND on, and I'm going to change its name to button AND. And this button, I'm going to change its name to button OR, and obviously it didn't make any difference which one I did first. And this one, I'm going to write the word OR on. So I now have two new buttons here. Okay, so here are my two new buttons. Now, in order to make this work, if I click on the AND button and double click on it, it comes up, and I'm going to make the toolbar lie down again. It comes up with an empty subroutine. And the empty subroutine says button AND underscore click. So it's what I want to do if I get a click on this button. So I'm going to write, if text, I'm going to use C-I-N-T, C-I-N-T text first dot text is greater than C-I-N-T text second dot text. Okay, so notice it puts in the parenthesis for me and all the rest. When I hit enter, it also puts in the then for me, which is a wonderful thing. Back when I was programming Visual Basic a while ago, it didn't add the thens, and you cannot imagine how many times I had to go back and write then. So this was, now I'm testing to see if C-I-N-T is text first dot text is greater than C-I-N-T text second, third dot text. Then, so now I've got my two if statements. If text first is greater than text second, then I'm checking to see if text first is greater than text third. If they are, then I am writing the text answer dot text equals okay. Okay, now I've got to put in the it's off. So I am going to put an else on this inner if. So to put an else on that inner if, I am going to hit enter. And I'm going to type else. And notice what it does. It moves it over, lines it up, and gives me a place to write what I want to do. So, I am going to write text answer dot text equals off. Okay? And that's what I wanted to write. Now I need to put in another else. So I'm putting in another else. Okay, because each if needs an else for what I said I wanted to do. And I'm writing text answer dot text equals off. Okay, so now I'm done. So if I get a yes to both questions, I write okay. Else, I check, I write out rather off. Okay. So, the yeses and nos I was looking at before, yes, 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 no, no, yes, no, no. So yes, yes, if I got a yes to both of them, gets me the okay. Yes, no, I get the off. I got some version of an off. I can turn this into a compound, okay, which we will also look at. So I can turn this into a compound. So to turn it into a compound will require having just one question and having two parts of it in an and relationship. Before I do that, anybody got a question about this? Does this make sense?
It does. I mean,
good. Good. Then I'm going to write and I got to take out the if because I only want one if. So I'm saying, if it's greater than and, it's greater than this. Okay? So I'm saying, if first is greater than second, and first is greater than third, then it's okay. Else, it's off. And I need to take down a bunch of extra else's and end ifs, so I have this. So now I'm saying, if both questions are true, put out okay. Else, put out off. Okay? And that could be I got a yes, no. It could be I got a no, yes. It could be I got two no's. Any of those is going to get me the off. Okay? So again, this is giving me yes, yes. Both questions were true. This is getting me either yes, no, no, yes, or no, no. Because those are the only possibilities if I have two questions that I'm asking. Okay. So now the next one I want to look at is the OR. So I'm going back to design, and I'm going to double-click on the OR. And now it's coming up with the button OR click event. So now I'm going to write the OR. So I'm going to copy and paste because I'm lazy. Okay. And then, if the first question is true, then everything is okay. Because in the OR, I only need one thing to be true. So I say equals okay. Else, I'm going to, else is where I go, if first is not greater than second. And my second chance is first greater than third. So I'm going to type in there, if first is greater than third. And it drops down and basically gives me a chance to say text answer dot text equals okay. Else, text answer dot text is off. And on this one,
the first one was true, then I say, okay. Else, so I get a second chance, and I check the second one. If the second one is true, I say, okay. Otherwise, it's off. Actually, I don't need that one. I was just looking at it and saying, wait a minute, I wrote that because I wrote the if. I actually don't need that one. Sorry about that. And I don't know why I wrote it in, except that I was copying. Looking up here too much. So, if the first chance is true, okay, because we asked if the first chance is true. Is the first greater than the second? If it is, it's okay. If not, is the first greater than the third? And if it is, it's okay. Otherwise, it's off. And I don't need another one. The way I did it up there, I was going to say it's off twice. Well, that's not a problem, but I was going to say it's off twice.
I'd still know it was off, but then I know it was very, very off. So I was going to say it twice, and I didn't need it there. Okay. And I can turn this into a compound as well. Okay, so I can say if it's greater than and then I can put in here an or and get rid of the second if. And it's very nicely telling me I don't need another end if because I only have one if. So I'm saying if first is greater than second or first is greater than third, then it's okay. Else it's off. Okay. And that end if should have realigned itself. There it did. When I clicked, it realigned itself. Visual Basic spoils you by aligning something, and then when it doesn't, you get wondering whether you did something or it did something. So that's how I can make it a compound. Okay. And again, with this one, if I get two yeses, or a yes and a no, or a no and a yes, I will do the okay. It's only if I get two no's that I go out of there and do that. And do the off. This one, YY got me this. The off was YN and Y or NN. So there are very different relationships between ands and ors.
And it depends on what your choice is.
It depends on what the problem says. Do I want this and this, or do I want this or this? Questions? Okay. What we're going to look at next is the user input one. So I asked you to download that, close this solution, and open the user input one. Okay. Has everybody got that one okay?
We can unzip it? Yeah, to actually tell it to extract all.
Extract? Is that what means unzip?
That means unzip. Okay, so here I define three memory variables. And I define them as decimals. Decimal and double do the same thing. So I could have called them decimal or I could have called them double. So I define work hours, work pay per hour, work gross pay. Okay, so if we go and look at the form on this, you see there is nothing about pay except the answer, gross pay. So I've got a place here to put in my name, and then it's going to click, and I'm going to click, and it's going to give me the gross pay. Okay. So the first thing to notice here is, again, the DIMS. And so I've set up three variables in order to do my calculations. Then I put up what is equivalent to a prompt in JavaScript. Okay, so the input box is asking the user to type something in. And that is equivalent to a prompt. And then down here, I've got a message box, which is equivalent to an alert. So the message box is like an alert, and the input box is like a prompt. And we'll look at them some more in a minute, but first I want to run it. Okay. So I'm putting in name John. And then I click here, and it says, enter the hours worked. So notice, it came up with a prompt. And the prompt was just like doing a prompt in JavaScript. This one is done with an input box. And notice the words that come up on it. It says, enter hours worked. That shows up right here. And hours shows up right there. So I put those two things in to tell it how I want the input box prompt to look. So I'm going to put in 40 and hit OK. And then enter pay per hour. I'm going to put in 40 and hit OK. And I'm coming up with 1600. Okay, now if you look at the 1600, it has a dollar sign and a comma. And that's because I said, take the result of the calculation and format it as currency. And so it gave you the dollar sign and the comma. So, okay, I put up the first input box and it gave me the hours. The second input box gave me work pay per hour. Work gross pay, I multiply those together, and then I edit them and put them on the form. And then I just put the number up, the answer up, in a message box, which is, again, like an alert in JavaScript. Okay? You know, one of the reasons we're looking at two languages is so you can see the similarity. In JavaScript, I define variables with a VAR, but I still have to define them. In Visual Basic, I define them with a DIM, but I still have to define them. Visual Basic wants to know the type. JavaScript says I'll figure it out. Both of them allow me to assign a number, so I can have as, after the as decimal, I could have written an equal sign and put an initial number. So if I wanted to give it an initial value, I could do that. Okay. So I am taking in the data, input box like prompt, doing the calculation. I get to format it in currency with something similar to that in JavaScript, but it's a pain in the neck. It's a lot easier here.
And then I can put up the contents of work gross pay in a message box. So I can take data from the user and I can supply data to the user. So I can do the same things that I did in JavaScript. Now, one of the nice things about Visual Basic is I have the buttons. And when I use the button, I am controlling what it's going to do right now. As opposed to in JavaScript, I would have had to have written an if statement and so forth. If I wanted to do different things, I might have had to do an if statement. Actually, probably not in this one, but lots of times, clicking on the button avoids if statements. Okay, questions? Okay, the third one I want to look at is arrays, and it's called department array. After they extract all, click on the one that shows VB and the IO. VB and the IO. So have you got it extracted?
Okay, and then go back to Visual Basic. Go back. Okay, yes, that one.
Okay, first thing, notice the difference between a bunch of these. These say underscore click, underscore click, underscore click, underscore loop. Okay, so that's different. The underscore load is basically something I want to do when the program starts. It's like housekeeping. I want this done once and only once when the program starts. Okay, so how do I get it? I double click on a blank place in the form. Any blank place in the form, if I double click on it, will create the load event. So I just double click on a blank area on the form and it makes the load event. And it puts the name of the form. Now, I had changed the name of the form. If you are calling yours Form 1, it would say Form 1 Loop. Okay? It puts the name of the form there. So what that does is it gives me a place that I can put things that I want to do at the beginning. And in fact, if you look at down at the bottom, I have a button exit. And button exit would be what I want to do when I'm all done. So that is going to only be clicked, hopefully, right at the end because it's going to close it. If I wanted to put out some kind of a total, I could do it in button exit before I did the end. I could just do display a total if I wanted a total. And I might use a message box to do that if I wanted to. In another example that I had a button exit, I had down here me close with the two parentheses. So that's another way to end it, is to do the me close. Or you can just do end. Either one works. Yes.
How do I get to where you work? Does this lead me to close with the
joint? No, you've got to bring up the forms. bring up the phone. Okay.
So, now let's look at the array.
In the global area, I'm defining that there exists an array. And I'm defining it up there so that I can use it in any one of my subroutines. I said department array, the biggest number is going to be 5. I didn't use department name 0 because it just didn't make sense. So I decided not to use it. I could have used it, I just decided not to. Because most departments don't call the first department department 0. Okay. So I then came down and I set up the array. And the array is basically like this. So 1 is girls, 2 is boys, 3 is infants, 4 is toys, and 5 is books. And again, in programming, you cannot use the same name twice unless it's in an array and you have a number that specifies which one you're talking about. So I said, I'm going to go up the beginning part. I said, I'm going to go up to the number 5. And then in the load, I said, okay, make department name modified by 1 contain girls. Make department name modified by 2 contain boys. Department name modified by 5 contain books. So that points to a unique spot. Yeah.
What happens if
twice? It gives you some kind of an error that says this name's already in use. It's confused. I mean, the same as if I said, you know, if there were 5 Susans in the room, and I said, would you come here a minute, Susan? There's 5 people that are going to be saying, does she mean me? Okay. So this way, department name, if I say move department name and I don't give it a number, it's going to give me an error because it doesn't know which one to move.
Like, I thought it would, like, move both of them.
Nope.
No, just error.
Just error.
Okay, so now this happens at the load. So it happens once and only once. Okay? So now I drop down and I come, if I click on the button, get name. Okay, if you look back at the form has a place to enter the department number. So I'm going to enter the department number, and if I click on get department name, it's going to tell me the department name. Okay,
so I'm going back to the code and I am going to run this. So if I put in a 5 and I click get department name, it tells me books. If I put in a 6 and I click on department name, it tells me invalid department number. And the reason is that when I click this button, it says find the val, which means convert that to a number, if it's greater than 0, and convert that to a number, if the department number is greater than 0 and less than 6, then I'm happy. And I'm going to take the department name with the department number as a subscript, index, pointer, whatever you want to call it. So I put in a 5, it's got a 5 there. So it says find the department name that 5 is pointing to, and it comes back with books. Because the department name that 5 is pointing to is books. When I put in a 6, it was greater than 0, but it wasn't less than 6. So So it took the else and printed out invalid department number. Okay?
Huh.
So I'm checking the range.
So if it's 1 or 5, it's got to be any of those, the debit. However, if it's too high, it will say invalid.
That's right. Or too low. Okay, so there they are, and they will show up. So if I put in a 3, I'm going to get infants. Okay? So if I put in a 3 here, get department name, it tells me infants.
Or babies.
Well, if you programmed it, it could say babies. But I programmed it, so it says infants. So, we have... If the department number is between 0 and 6, use it to get the right department name. Else, it's an invalid department name. Okay, we have 7 whole minutes. What I want you to do is modify this program so that it is dealing with the days of the week, and you don't have to change it. You can call the days departments or something. But I want to deal with days of the week so that if they put in a 1, I return Monday. If they put in a 2, I return Tuesday. If they put in a 7, I return Sunday. So go in and modify this program to make it do that.
First.
I just want one to be Monday. If you want to make 1 Sunday, I can live with that too. But I think of Monday as the first day of the week. I don't like breaking up the weekend somehow. Making Sunday come first breaks up the weekend. So just make the change. As I said, you can call the days of the week departments if you want to. But just make the change and test it and make sure it's working. What are the things you're changing? What's the first thing you have to change?
in department name in the global field?
As.
Seven?
Yep. What else do I have to change?
You have to add department name, 6 and 7.
Yep.
Or I added 6 and 7 for Saturday and Sunday.
Right. And change this to Monday and so forth,
right,
going on. And then what is the other thing you have to do?
Value for text department number dot text is less than 8.
Yep. So you have to put the less than 8 in there. And that's all you had to do, but you had to catch all three of those things or it would not work. Also, I didn't mention the clear. If I hit the clear button, it takes and says text department dot clear, and it's the clear function. So I have the two parentheses there, meaning it's a visual basic function. It knows the clear means empty it out. And so it does. Okay, we're done. I don't see Eric today. I'm assuming he sent me an email, but I haven't read my emails. So I will be around. I need to talk to Janelle a little bit, so I'm going to see if she can come down here. But I will be around. I've also got to check and see who signed up for advisement on my door. So,
I did.
You did? What time?
2:20.
Okay. I'm betting there's probably somebody there, so I probably better go and check that.
I kind of like this stuff thing.
Good.
Do some fun editing.
Sorry, I said things.
No, it's fine. It's just that the computer didn't say that.
I know, I forgot to put that in the paper.